This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I was just thinking before, one of the greatest things that a father would want to hear is, "I love you, Dad." Isn't it? Would that be right? "I love you, Dad." I think it breaks every father's heart. Story that you all know, the story of the prodigal son. He's our Father in heaven. I already shared this when Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, "This is how you pray, you say, 'Our Father.'" Isn't that interesting? Not "my Father," "our Father." Immediately recognize that you've been brought into an incredible family, an incredible family. And I just appreciate that psalm was read out there. God knows everything about us. And I want to look at this story of the prodigal son from the father's point of view. And even speaking to the older brother and what the father did, you know, we realize from this that the son, the younger son, said, "Give me my inheritance, I want it now," and took off with it and just blew it all. And eventually came to his senses, realized that he didn't have a home. He didn't have any friends. He thought he had plenty of friends, but they're all bought friends, obviously. And he realized where his heart really should be. And he came to his senses and said, I'm going back to my father's house. Now, that's where I belong. That's where I know I'm loved. And yet his frame of mind was that I'm not worthy. I've just blown it so badly that the only thing I can hope for is to be a servant in my father's house. At least they're fed. At least there's food there. And at least I can maybe live off the memory of what I had there. And that was his whole intent. And he came back and he first of all started saying to his father, "I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And the father's immediate response was just to cut him off. You know, he ran to him first of all. So that tells us that the father was looking. He saw him afar off. And remember I shared that scripture earlier, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, and not reluctantly. I just believe the heart of the father is just longing to see his sons and daughters come back to him. But anyway, his response was, he said, "Bring the best robe and put it on my son. Put a ringer on, I'm jumping ahead, I'm trying to confuse, a ring on his finger, and put sandals on his feet, and let's have a huge feast. Kill the fatted calf." So the best robe, what does that talk about? Well, it talks about the need to be covered. We cover our nakedness, there's no shame anymore. The Bible says that he has given us white robes. In Revelation 7, it says those white robes he's given us that are white. We've washed our garments. We've made them clean in the blood of the Lamb. They're white. Isn't that incredible? Purity. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. In fact, we were, all of us, just busy playing in pig pens. Filthy. And there's a lot of people that are like that. They're in pig pens and they have a sense, "I'm not worthy to come anywhere near God." You know, you know, you hear the saying, "If I come into a church, the walls will fall down." Well, I doubt it. But that's what they say. So there's, "I'm not worthy. I can't come near." And I remember years ago having this picture. I was praying, and I had this picture of a household, and it was at night time. And the house, was it just incredible in picture? It was at night time. The house, it was a beautiful house, and I was looking from the outside and I could see in through the windows, and I could see there was warmth, there was colour, there was relationship going on, there was fellowship, there was just love, there was harmony, the family was sitting around eating and drinking and talking and fellowship, laughing, and there was warmth in there. It was just an incredible sort of vision that I had. And then I saw, this is what just broke, I saw outside there was these people outside and they were looking in, and there was this incredible longing to be able to go into the house. But they weren't going in. They were actually like little children. They'd got themselves all filthy dirty. And they thought, I can't go in there, because everybody in that house was just beautifully clothed. They were so clean, and there was an abundance of food. There was everything for them. And the ones that were in the, they were in the dark, and they were peering in through the window and just felt they couldn't go in. And look, if I put in a nutshell, what I want to say is that the Father's heart is crying out, and he's saying, who is going to go for me, and who is going to bring them in? Bring them in. You know, what does the scripture say? In the last days, many people are going to come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of our God. Many people are going to say that, because there's many that are longing. They don't even know. They haven't come to their senses quite yet. They're still in that pig pen. They're still in that filthy place of bondage. They still think they can buy friends. They still think that this world will give them what will satisfy them, and it won't. It's just, they're just getting filthier and filthier and filthier, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. And this is what the scripture says: behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And I tell you, it's a glory that is going to be incredibly attractive. And God's saying, who's going to go for me? Who's going to reveal that glory? Because in this parable of the two sons, you're either going to reflect it like that younger son. You know, he, in his mind, would have been vivid where he's come from. Vivid. What kind of a condition he was in. And in his mind, he's just blown away by the fact he's just been given this robe of righteousness. The Bible talks about garments that have been given to us. We've been robed in royalty. Do you know that? You haven't come back and you're not a slave anymore. You're not trying to earn any kind of position. You're not trying to earn any kind of position. Being an apostle, a prophet, doesn't earn you any kind of position with God. The greatest position you could ever have with God is to be called his son. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Positions, absolutely nothing. No wonder those 24 elders, they just get their crowns and toss them down. Because the greatest salvation that has ever been given has been given to us, that we can be called sons. Angels want to look into it. That's what the Bible says. Angels desire to look into what we have received. Well, this younger son, that was just vivid in his heart. He's just been given a ring. It's a ring of authority. That's what it speaks of. It's authority. It's power. In the name of Jesus, we have authority. In fact, all power, all authority is given to that name. And you are named by that name. You're part of an incredible family. All power and all authority. You know, we're seeing these things, but a lot of us are seeing them incredibly dimly. We're not seeing them clearly. I shared something last night. We were actually preaching in a church, and I just feel to share that the same thing. In our brains, there's a part of the brain called the reticular activating system. Boy, I remembered that big word. Basically what it is, it's a part of the brain that regulates all the information that comes into our brain. Apparently, there's just so much information that comes to us from all of our senses. If you put that in a computer, it would just overload, break down. But we've got actually in our brain something that basically filters what we give our attention to. And an indication of that is, how many have ever bought a new car? And then suddenly you see that everybody else has bought the same car. Well, that's not the case. It's just that you're seeing them now. It's just, and where's Matthew? I remember sharing that in this church, Matthew. You know, the brick collector makes great brick paths in his garden. Well, Matthew sees bricks everywhere. Matthew will see bricks where you don't see them. Why? Because Matthew's looking for them. He'll be driving along the side of the road, slam on the brakes. I don't know. I'm hamming this up. No more. You're not looking for bricks anymore. He's got enough. But I remember when he's telling me, he would just see bricks on the side of the road. Nobody else would see them, but he'd see. Why? Because he's looking for them. He's looking for them. It's what he's giving his attention to. And you know, we're living in a generation that has so much entertainment, so much amusement. And I think I remember looking at that word amusement, to amuse, to divert. It's a real strategy. In fact, in military terms, it would be used as a strategy. We can divert their attention over there. We can get them here. And we live in a generation where it's said that children have their attention spans are a lot shorter. I don't know whether it's true. Have you heard that? Well, it's across the board. Everybody's attention span. There's the issue in churches now that you can't go for too long because people's attention span is a lot shorter. Well, what's that all about? Well, I just think there's an overload going on. The Bible says that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. But we're not those kind of people. We're not looking at the earth and worrying about what politician is going to get in, what world war is going to happen. Because Jesus said, I tell you beforehand, these things are going to happen. Take no thought for your life. What you're going to wear, what you're going to put on, what you're going to eat. Your Heavenly Father already knows. So where is your attention? Where is my attention? Because there's a gold mine that God wants us to tap into. There's a feast that he wants us to see. And so many people aren't even seeing it. How many times have I overlooked something because I'm not looking for it? You know, the Bible says that God has hidden in Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In fact, are hidden in him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Christ. Everything that you need is in him. And he's been given to us. But when you take something for granted, you begin to overlook what's really there. You don't give it your attention. Isn't the Bible full of sayings where God says, my son, pay attention to my sayings. My son, if you will treasure my words within you, if you will treasure what I'm saying, I will begin to open to you things that you've never seen before. I will give you my Holy Spirit who will begin to reveal to you the things that I've prepared for those who love me. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. Are we just going to be mouthing it or are we actually going to do it? I love you, Father. God's looking for a people like that. He's looking for you and me so that he can so transform us that we realize we have this incredible robe on us. We've got a ring of authority on our finger. We have sandals. You know, in those days, it was only the masters of the house that wore sandals. The slaves didn't have sandals. What's that talking about? You know, in Ephesians, Paul's talking about our walk. He's talking about walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He talks about walk in love. Hasn't he put sandals on our feet? He's given us the gospel, the preparation, the peace. Oh, I've got it all mixed up. I've got to read it. But he's put sandals on our feet. How lovely on the mountains. Here's that mountain again. Come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord, the house of our God. He says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness, declaring to Zion, our God is on the throne. There is nothing too hard for our God. My dad can do anything. My dad can do anything. My dad can do anything. It's true. You know, my earthly father, I remember thinking when I was a little kid, my dad can do anything. And I'd boast about him beating up a guy 6'6", much to my dad's horror. Put him on the... And you get disillusioned. Your dad can't do anything. He used to think nothing was too hard for him. And you grow up and think, oh, okay, I better change my thinking. Got dad into trouble. But now we're born again of incorruptible seed. We're born again of his spirit. And it's like we're getting more and more dependent upon him, realizing that he can do anything. Nothing's too hard for him. And I want to just sum this up. But that prodigal that came back, he realized all of this. He was given this, and there's this incredible feast prepared for him. But you know, okay, the father's heart just lavished upon him. You don't have to earn it, my son. You don't have to earn it. Just receive it. How do you get born again? You receive Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave this gift that's indescribable. If we were to literally think about what God has given us, it's indescribable. It's unfathomable. Angels who know everything about God want to look into it. And it's been given to us. A lot of people that I want to go to heaven. I want to see what's happening in heaven. Well, the angels want to see what's happening with you and me. He wants to see this revelation that's been given, that God's given us his spirit. And he said there are things that the ear hasn't heard. There are things that the eye hasn't seen. Hasn't even entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Daddy, I love you. It says, but God has revealed it to us by his spirit. Now, can you picture this? I got this picture of a son growing up, and the father says, son, come with me. I want you to show you something. It's something I've kept secret. I've kept it hidden just for you. And son, I think you're ready for it. You're ready for it. And he takes him and he begins to show him all the things that he's planned and prepared for him. All the things. There are things that God has that he wants to reveal to you, but he hasn't got your full attention yet. He hasn't got it yet. He wants you to look deeply. Come to him. Get rid of the distractions. It's not that they're evil. They're a distraction. They're a distraction. If he can get your attention, he can begin to show you things that your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, hasn't even entered your heart, but he'll reveal it to your spirit. Because the Holy Spirit shows us the deep things, the secret things of our Father, reveal it to you. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to be able to take that and you'll be going to begin to go and show what God is really like, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him. He starts preaching, reveals the glory of God. Remember I said darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you. His glory shall be seen upon you. What's his glory? Well, the Bible tells us it's Jesus Christ. When he came, we beheld the glory of God, full of truth and grace. Well, grace. And that's why he's saying, who will go for me? Who will go and reflect the Father's heart? Or we're going to be like the older brother. Here he is. He's saying he should be dealt with properly. You know, he's wasted. He's just blown it all. You know what amazes me? The fathers didn't get angry with him. He said to the older brother, son, you're always with me. How many of us have been in church, maybe most of our lives, and we've never looked at what God's got for us? He said, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. What did you never gave me anything. Oh, just imagine what that did to the father's heart. How many fathers how would you feel if that was spoken to you? You never gave me anything. He says, son, you're always with me. Don't you know I've given you everything? All that I have is yours. That's a tragedy. We can be in churches, and because, you know, of our attention, that reticular activating system, whether it's that or what, it's regulating what we will give our attention to. In other words, it's regulating what we think is important. No wonder the Bible says incredible things like this, to whom much he who has will receive more. And somebody help me here. Help me, Jesus. Say it not.
He who thinks he has, even what he has, will be taken away.
Thank you. That's it. Yeah. So he's given us so much. Angels want to look into the things that have been given to us. Hebrews 12, I'll just give you a couple of scriptures as I finish here. Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 22 to 24, it talks about that we haven't come to that mountain that shook and the trumpet blast and the fire on the mountain that everybody was so scared of. And who's this God? We want to get as far away from him as can. He's too scary. But we've come to Mount Zion, to an innumerable company of angels in joyful assembly. It's a party. It's a feast going on. That's where we've come. And it says there that we've come to the church of the firstborn. Do you know the firstborn son in the Old Testament? He got everything. He got the double portion. He got the best of everything. It was the first. He got the whole inheritance. He got everything, the firstborn son. He got the double portion. And I think about this, start just blow me away. That we've become co-heirs with Christ. We're not just another son, you're the second son, you're the third son. No. We are his sons. We're the church of the firstborn. The church is what? It's his body. We've become one with Christ Jesus. And so literally, you know, when Jesus was baptized, when he obeyed the Father and got baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible says that after he was baptized, the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove, and Father spoke from heaven and said, "You are my beloved son." Basically, he was saying, "I love you and I'm proud of you." He's saying that to every one of you here. If you're in Christ Jesus, the Father is saying to you, before you've done anything, "You're my beloved son, I love you and I'm proud of you." Man, will that motivate a life? If you receive the revelation of that, the truth of that into your heart, that will so motivate you that you'll be like Elisha saying, "Here am I, Lord, send me. I want to represent you. I want to tell people what you're really like. I want to go into the highways and the byways, and I want to compel them to come into the house of God. I don't want them in the dark anymore. I'm going to compel them, not by forcing them, but the power of his love, the power of his grace, the power of his mercy to compel a person to come into the house of God. They're going to see it in you and they're going to see it in me and they're going to stream to his goodness." As I tell you, the darker it gets, the worse it gets. If they can just get one taste of what our Father is really like, they're going to come in and we can tell them, "You can be born again. Yes, God is your creator, but he's not your father yet. You must be born again." This is the greatest news that anybody can tell anybody else. You can be born again of God's Spirit and you can be his son, his daughter indeed. Wow, isn't that incredible? Now you feel motivated by that? I'm just going to finish now. And I want to just say something to put out particularly all the men as a father, to everybody, particularly men. We had a department leaders meeting and we were talking about the children in the church, that they're growing up. And what we don't want to happen in this church has happened in the past, that they get to teenage years and they disappear. Not everyone, but so many have. And we don't want to see that happen. So we're making plans. We're praying about it, thinking about it right now so that that doesn't happen. There's an incredible group out there, the children, and it's not too far away. They're coming into that age group. I want us as a church to start praying about that. I want you to start seeking God, particularly the men. particularly the men. You know, there's an absence of men. I think it's in schools as well, isn't it, Adam? That, you know, to get a man in a school is a good thing now. There's not too many. There's an absence of men. Where are the fathers? God wants to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, children to their parents. He wants to do that. Where are the men taking out a call to see the children be brought to the Father, to know what the Father is really like? You know that in the home, we can go for all those sorts of things. But, it's, you know, it's the Father that are needed in families. And fathers are needed in this place for the children. I want you to pray about it. I want you to think about it. And maybe God's calling you to be involved in that. We've got a plan. We've got to prepare for that now. So put it out there. If God's speaking, you come to me. Speak to us. So, you know, we can get training happening. We send you away to a boot camp or something and get you involved. But first of all, start seeking God. God, because God is saying, who will I send? There is a cry from heaven. Who will I send? Who will go for me? And that could be you. God's not interested in your credentials. What he wants is a heart that he can use. He's interested in your yieldedness. That's all it takes. If you will give him your attention, he will do all that's necessary. He will fill you with his Spirit. You can't get better empowering than the Holy Spirit and God's word. Amen. So if that's you, please see me. We're going to close in prayer now. And I just want to say to every family, I just really pray that every family are blessed. And fathers, if you're having a big meal today, enjoy it. Love your kids. Love your grandkids. And bless them. Okay, let's stand up and pray together. Thank you, Father. Father, just we would pray for the children in this church. Lift them up before you. And thank you for the absolute treasure that you've given us. They are heritage, a blessing from you. You have blessed us in this church. And Lord, we don't want to see them go away from you. We want to see them growing strong, knowing you, knowing you, knowing you. Lord, with all their heart, mind, and strength, knowing you, and out of that, serving you and living for you. So, Father, we lift up the youth and children in this church. Pray for your grace, wisdom, strategy. I pray for the men here, those that you're speaking to, and women, Lord, but especially men at this stage. Lord, if you're speaking to ones here, encouraging there, Lord, thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And so, Lord, we thank you for your wisdom, for your strategies, and for your blessing in this house, in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, we just stand amazed that the incredible love that you have given us, that we should be called your sons. And Lord, I pray that you would get our attention in every area, Lord, that we begin to see the treasures that are hidden in your word. And as we see them, Lord, we can receive them and we can then walk in them. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the absolute feast that you've set before us. Open eyes, Lord, to see that feast. Lord, you've given us your own life and we are complete in you. Thank you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Please, if you've got time, stay for a cup of tea and coffee and then have a great time with your families.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.